And good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's doing fantastic on this Friday night. This is Jeff of Solid Canine Training and the wonderful Joelle. Don't forget, we've got two great seminars coming up. We've got one in Chicago at the end of April, one in Mantua, New Jersey, which is actually right outside of Philadelphia. So these are problem-solving seminars where dramatic stuff happens, where you bring your really badly behaved dog and you have a dramatic change with your dog. So we're really excited about that. This is the What Would Jeff Do show. It is a Q&A show where you... What?
You don't have us on the thing.
I didn't switch over yet. I was done promoting the seminars. This is a Q&A show. And what happens is you ask questions, we give you answers. You'll notice that most people ask, though, how to stop unwanted behaviors. So you're going to hear a lot of our responses being, well, you apply a punisher. Now, people actually need to, on both sides of the conversation, they actually need how to know how to reward their dog. People in general just have to learn how to train their dogs. There's a huge, huge gap of learning and education out there because there's so many mixed messages, which confuses the heck out of the consumer. You're going to find out that I don't understand why it's so polarizing, because you would think people want in control dogs. You would think that people want a dog. Like today, we had to walk down another street with our dogs who are off leash, walking down the street calmly past lots of dogs, barking dogs. But we've got a neighbor that's three doors down with two miniature schnauzers, and he lives on this, we know we both live on the same street. We actually had to go down a different street because his dogs will take up not only the whole street, but like five feet into everybody's yard. So walking by this person was not even an option because they're out of control. So like, that's not fun. Like that's not what dog ownership is. That's just not what dog ownership is. I just, you know, and I understand that everyone's got a different bar of what they want to do, but I'll be talking a lot about a lot of things. I'm making a bunch of little educational videos to put up this weekend. I'm filming in this weekend. They'll be going up soon. Just on so many things and pretty much all these misconceptions about dog training. There's just so much false information. A lot of it boils around using aversive tools, on using e-cowers, which is not just an aversive tool. The concept of the word punishment, on working with fearful dogs and why food doesn't work and that's why you don't use it. So there's so much. But anybody, for all the folks that are watching us on Rumble, on YouTube, on Instagram, and on Facebook, and listening to any of the podcast stations that we stream on, I appreciate all of you. So let's start asking the questions. This is audience participation. Without your questions, we have no show. So
sure, we can find some stuff to talk about.
No, not tonight.
We do this to help you guys.
Yeah. This is for you.
We get a lot of questions in the DMs and stuff, but it's just hard.
Yeah, it's like, go come into our podcast. It's the best way to get free information, that's for sure. And it's the best way to get more of an explanation that our thumbs can type.
Yeah.
Not as good as a one-on-one, but definitely pretty good. And if you're struggling with your dog and you just don't know where to turn, should I do a boarding training with Solid Canine Training? Should I do a one-on-one with Jeff? Should I do a, you know, an online one-on-one with Jeff? Should I join the community? Should I buy, which course should I buy? You can actually do a 15-minute, you know, free Zoom call with me just to find out. I'm not going to train your dog during that time, but just to
get you on the right track.
Yeah. Pretty much make sure you're spending your money smartly and your time.
Smartly.
Yeah. Well, people spend their money
wisely.
Stupidly. Yeah. All right. What do we got?
Avi says hello.
Hey, Avi. Avi, how are you?
Sam, hi guys. Okay, I got a cheap leash.
Good.
I think I'm less of an idiot with this one. Question is, does it matter what side she heels on? Is that a factor when it comes to putting the slip leash on?
Well, if it's a slip, okay, it doesn't matter what side the dog heels on, as long as you're consistent or have a different name for each side. But as far as the slip lead, if you want the slip lead to be activated and deactivated properly, the slippage would be put on the dog differently depending on the side they were on. Next.
Let's see. Maggie says, how would you handle a 5-month cattle dog with reactivity with small animals?
Okay. So Maggie, we have a leash reactivity bundle right now. You get four courses in almost $900 value for under $200. After watching even one of these courses, leash reactivity will not exist in your life anymore. So for under $200, you would stop it. So how do you stop it? There's, first of all, is your dog, teaching a proper heel doesn't stop it, but we like dogs to walk in a proper heel. Does your dog walk in a proper heel at your side, at your pace, no pulling, totally loose leash? You stop, it automatically sits. You turn right, it turns right, left, left. You walk backwards. Frankly, the dog should be able to walk backwards. And it's not fancy. This is easy stuff to do. All this is easy for a 5-month-old dog to do. The breed doesn't matter. Don't let anybody tell you that cattle dogs are bred to be leash reactive. No, they're not. They're bred to work cattle. And they're actually silent most of the time. But for leash reactivity, you've got to understand what loading is. You have to understand how to apply a punisher. And then you have to understand the timing of the punisher. You also need to have some leash skills so that you're going to stop it through applying a punisher, but you need to know how to do it. You need to know how to do it. That's the biggest thing, is just like you need to know how to reward the dog to teach it like a downstay or any other command, you have to know how to stop the dog. So if it's in a harness, you're probably going to struggle a tremendous amount because that'll actually make it worse. We recommend a small prong collar. Prong collars are not mean. They're not barbaric at all. Anybody that says so just doesn't know. They just don't know. People in the trenches using them every day have, like, it's the greatest tool ever. Second greatest tool ever, the e-collar is actually the greatest tool ever. I recommend your dogs get off-leash, fully off-leash trained. For the average dog owner, consumer that doesn't have a huge amount of time, but even if you do have time, e-collars are fantastic tools that really help on-leash and off-leash train your dog. But leash reactivity, the best way to stop it is invest under $200, get 4 courses, and you will have a perfectly healed dog, but also a dog that's not leash reactive. Plus, you'll have the shrapnel effect of a lot of other behaviors either not manifesting, or you'll know how to stop them. Next.
And you're on Instagram, so you can just type in the word solutions.
Oh, there you go.
And you'll get a link to a freebie that we put out, and then also the link to the bundle. Hey, Wolf says, happy Friday, friends. Hey, how are you? Snuggle Buns says, hey, everyone. Hey, Snuggle Buns. Alicia started new expectations with Figaro after the seminar. He is making a little progress with his kennel stress. Sure. I will be emailing you guys soon. Sucks I brought the wrong dog. Well, you didn't know.
You didn't know
your dog would not displaying any of her behavior.
Do you know that people spend $6,000 on a boarding train?
On the wrong dog.
And once the dog is done, and it's fully trained and rehabbed, but they'll bring their other dog in the house. And as soon as we meet that other dog, we're like, you sent us the wrong dog. That's your problem, dog.
Yeah, we actually have a Shiba in right now whose housemate, they get into fights, and the housemate's coming in. We're probably going to make like a course or something on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like how we get, you know, two dogs.
Yeah.
Existing again after they've been in some school. Yeah,
exactly.
Let's see. Jill says, appreciate you. Any suggestions for stopping a dog that digs?
Yeah, absolutely. We have got a tried and true, so it's proven, meaning it's based on facts, not just on theory, way to stop dogs from digging. So there's a lot of fill the hole up with crap. Okay, to a dog, that's a buffet. Fill it up with water. To a dog, that's a bath. When the dog digs, it hasn't put an e-collar on it. We'll have an e-collar on the dog a lot for a lot of different things. But this is one of those times an e-collar is used as a high-level punisher. So everything is not trained this way. But yes, you correct your dog highly. It is uncomfortable as it should be to stop the dog from digging. So if it sucks to dig, dogs historically stop. You're going to hear that that's wrong, but for some reason, it seems to work every single time from the people that are actually doing it. Anytime someone says something is wrong, ask them, how many times have you done it in order for you to make a statement such as that? And they'll say, I haven't done it before, or I tried it once and it didn't work. Well, maybe you tried it, maybe you tried it wrong, or maybe you didn't do it right. So, but that's how you stop digging. Next.
Jan says, howdy. Hey, Jan.
Hey, Jan, how are you?
Eric, hey guys, what do you do for training with a dog with dynamic trachea syndrome, the condition where the trachea collapses when they breathe? I believe they're harness only. Anything you do with the e-collar?
Yeah. So it's not that it's harness only. It's that they can't have pressure on their neck. Now, I've used prong collars on those dogs. I've used e-collars on those dogs because a prong collar actually,
it sits so high.
It disperses any pressure. It disperses any pressure. So the thing about a harness is the dog can get so ramped up that it hyperventilates. So also depends on what you're working with the dog. But a dog like that can be fully e-collar trained. Absolutely. You can embed the, I mean, if you didn't want to put it on the neck, you can embed the e-collar into the harness if you want to. We've done that before. Yeah.
Nicole, I've upped e-collar corrections for Gunner's barking when he's excited. I say no, then tap the remote, and then he yelps. Should I lower a bit or keep doing it? Today was the first day with higher correction.
Okay, so today's the first day. Let me ask you.
Nikki, you're in fast track with us. I know you need answers probably sooner than later, but I want to see this all in video because this is the problem dog that she's been having problems with for a while. Anyway.
But I would ask you one question. Did the dog stop barking?
Right.
That's the only question that needs to be answered. I mean, asked. That's the problem with dog training. It's like, well, did it work? Did it work? You know, so I've been sober for over 30 years. I gave up alcohol on a Sunday morning at the Tropicana Hotel, $12.95 champagne brunch. And I just literally said to my buddy, Alan, I'm never going to drink again. I've never had a drop of alcohol. Never thought about having a drop of alcohol. Never wanted to. Never struggled with it after that. Now, how about if somebody told me, oh yeah, I went to this place to get sober and they took my head and they dunked it into a bucket of vodka until I could barely breathe anymore. And then they let me up and they did that three times. And I'll be the first question I would ask. Most people would say that's mean. My question would be, did it work?
Like,
have you stopped drinking? Like, isn't that all that really matters? You're an alcoholic. You have a drinking problem. So many people struggle with giving up alcohol. Mm-hmm. So many people can't stay sober. So many people regress. So all that really matters, do you want the kind way or do you want the effective way? Ideally, you'd have both. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick, I would go with effective.
Yeah.
Because it's life or death. Historically, alcoholics destroy their relationships, destroy their relationships with their kids, lose their job, usually sometimes end up in jail for something. So there's like staying sober. Sober people do those things too. But no good comes out of being an excessive drinker. No good whatsoever. Next.
Gutsy Mutt said, thoughts on when to neuter a puppy based on behavior and not medical. Does waiting for maturity affect their behavior? And do you think it is harder to work with an unaltered dog?
No. Any good dog trainer doesn't give a shit. Any good dog trainer does not care if the dog is intact or not intact. So medical, I don't know. I'm not a vet. A vet is going to encourage you to neuter or spay your dog. I've never met a vet that discouraged it. Never. Meanwhile, for thousands of years, tens of thousands of years, dogs were not de-sexed. Over in Europe, historically, a lot of dogs are not de-sexed. So as far as behavioral, you'll probably end up, I'm not a vet, but you'll probably end up with more problems neutering early, just not just behavioral, but more like physical behaviors.
I would say the majority of the behavioral cases we get in, though, are de-sexed.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's not stopping
any bad behavior. Yeah.
But as far as medical goes,
that's, unfortunately.
But the question is, thoughts on when to neuter a puppy based on behavior, not medical.
I would still go as long as possible.
We're not seeing it affect behavior.
Right. So why not wait until the dog is a little bit older? Next.
Lakes Trees says hi, everyone.
Hey.
Let's see. Trish, new shelter dog, struggling with peeing in the crate despite being taken out constantly. 1-year-old, first 2 days out of the shelter. No UTI divider in the crate. Will just lay down in its own mess.
Yeah, it's a dirty dog.
Man.
So what you own a dirty dog. That's what they're called. Dogs that urinate and shit and lay down in it and don't care. They're called dirty dogs. What's that from? We see that a lot with dogs that, unfortunately, they lived in their kennel. They lived in the shelter. That's where they were. They pissed and they shit where they eat and sleep.
Yeah, that's a hard habit.
Or they were never crate trained. So what I would do is I would do a couple of things. Monitor the dog's food and water. I'd rather your dog was a biting dog. If you had a biting dog, it's easier just to give you a heads up. It's easier with a biting dog. But you're going to monitor its food and water, cut down on its, I would take away its water, and give it to it like you give it food, but more occasionally, obviously. It also depends on the climate that you're in. But the free access to water, you might want to withhold for a little bit, but make sure your dog gets enough water, obviously. Make sure it goes out to very, very structured potty breaks, and make sure they empty their bladder fully. So go to the same spot. Don't be excited. Same spot. Be neutral. Have the dog on a leash. It goes potty, and then it comes back inside the house. It doesn't get to play after it goes potty because that's when they usually rush their potty. Next.
Oh my gosh, another Oak Barrel Barbecue. Hi, Jeff and Joelle. Soon to be 4-year-old corgi female that is still crapping in the house. Highly distracted outside, thinks she goes out to sniff only. Made the mistake using piddle pads, yep. Continues to crap in that area.
So,
damn.
Number one, what's the dog eating? Is that on a raw diet or is that on a kibble diet? Kibble shits are larger and grosser.
Okay, but either way, shit is shit. No, you don't want it in the house.
I know that, but I'm just saying though, for cleanup purposes, yeah. Okay? Like you can literally
kibble shits are larger and grosser.
I would never pick up kibble shit with my bare hands, but I would actually pick up a dog's raw poop with my bare hands. Because
they're like hard little rocks.
Hard little nuggets that actually don't get really, I would wash my hands afterwards, yeah. But I wouldn't consider it gross. It's not like a cow pet. I wouldn't consider it gross, but kibble shit is gross. So I would, number one, are you overfeeding the dog? Are you free feeding the dog? Does the dog have definite eating times and then definite structured potty times?
And then how is it getting there in the first place? So is the dog free roaming in the house?
Right. So what you can do is you can set up a perimeter alarm. It's a infrared with a reflector in that area that when the dog gets in that area, you can also do this. Okay, first thing, you can also get a underground fence technology. It's a pod. The dog wears the collar. You can adjust it from 2 to 9 feet. You put the pod over by the head area, and if the dog gets within 2 to 9 feet of it, it gets heavily corrected. Now, will your dog go to the bathroom somewhere else? Maybe, but your dog will probably scream. You'll be like, oh, guess the dog has to go to the bathroom. That's what I would start doing. That's actually what I would do. Because the amount of money it's going to cost you to replace flooring, carpeting, you know, everything. You might as well get this little contraption next.
Nikki said he does seem calmer in general, but I haven't gone out the front door since. Planned on it again tonight.
Okay, good.
Yeah, see how it goes.
Yeah.
Try to get video if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm curious about that. And then also, did you put him on the dominant dog collar yet?
Mm.
Because I think prong and stuff like ramps him up.
Yeah, more. Yeah. Some dogs I do.
Kendra, hey Jeff, longtime watcher, 10 years. Wow. I've become a professional for 5 years now, and it's become my career.
Awesome.
7 years ago, you told me keep it up, and I did.
Awesome. Wow. Proud of you.
Just wanted to start with that. My question, I recently had my first failed dog, and as in the problem mom hired me to fix isn't getting fixed.
Mm-hmm.
He finished his board and train and with me, went home a superstar pupil. The dog is perfect in my presence, but once he's alone with mom, he returns to his manic, anxious state, panting, barking, drooling. Right. I'm assuming this is like in the kennel. It got cut off.
Right. Okay. So what the dog is, it's not that you failed the dog. There's something called association. Mm-hmm. All right. There's something called association. So what you need to do is you need to do some one-on-ones with the owner. The owner needs to have a total revamp. Total revamp. Well, first of all, how long was the dog with you? Some of these two-week boarding trains, that's not enough time to pattern this to last long enough. But was the dog, is the owner changing? Have you been to their house and have you set up their house exactly the way it should be for success? Are they creating the dog? Are they doing mandatory double down? Are they holding the dog accountable? Are they correcting the dog's panting? You can correct panting if the dog's not overheating, it's stress panting. That could actually be corrected with low-level e-collar. It can. And a lot of people will be like, why would you correct a dog that's like stressed? Because it stops the stress. Like, that's why. Oh, it'll make it worse, says the person who's never seen it in his life, but does it. It's like all these things that supposedly make it worse, we're not seeing.
Yeah.
And we're in the trenches. And we haven't done it one time. We've done it thousands of times.
And if you can't, like, go to the owner's house, like, as we get out of state,
do virtual consults.
We have, like, the separation anxiety course, which the dog that we use, believe it or not, they were not local to us. So we gave them the course. We'll follow the course. And they're like, oh, wow, he's doing so much better now that we're following the course.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Of course, we knew he was going to try to regress when he went home.
So there's the dog can absolutely, the owner can absolutely have success, but
they need to change.
They need to change. They need to change everything.
If they got the dog back and they're doing exactly what they were doing before,
even one thing they were doing before, yes.
Then it's not your problem. It's the owner problem if they're not willing to change.
Right. So if you give them strict instructions. If you have the opportunity to go to the house, you can watch them. Are they also doing drills with the dog? Are they holding the dog accountable on everything, not just on the kettle stuff?
Yeah.
Are they cutting down on affection? Are they making sure they're doing their leadership skills? Are they, like, there's so many moving parts. There's so many moving parts. Also, did you do a mid-training or did you just do a training at the end? How long was your training at the end? So there's so, like, you might want to think about joining our coaching program. We've got it starts on Wednesday. We have a 90-day intensive, twice a week, one-hour Zooms. It's small group, and it's very, very powerful coaching.
All of our courses, too.
You know, that's if you get the big,
mm-hmm.
there's different tiers. There's different tiers to it. But in a minimum, do coaching. For everybody out there that's a dog trainer right now, I mean, Joel and I spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on mentors and on coaching for business, not on dog training, on business, just to be able to help. It all falls around how can we share more information with as many dog owners as possible. That's what it's that's the goal of all of these coaches that we hire. And you know, I would encourage you to invest some money into some extended learning.
It's for owners and trainers,
yeah,
too.
And next time we do this, the next 90-day round, trainers are going to be put into a different tier, but the price will also be double, if not triple, because it's all career stuff. You're able to monetize all this stuff. Next.
Jay Drink Walter, if a dog does a reverse hump, humping another dog's face, is that just a dominant jerk move?
It's 69.
Pulling out the old reverse Uno.
Yeah.
Hump in the face.
That's right. Yep. With a skip a turn card.
That's right. You don't even get any fucking choice.
So humping is humping is humping. So in other words, and instead of calling it a dominant behavior, just call it an unwanted behavior. So the best way to stop that is get a stockyard whip, and you pick them up at Tractor Supply, and you do a double tap on the dog's ass. Boom, boom. Dog will stop. E-collar works too. That's how you stop things. This is the thing that people have to understand. When you want to stop an unwanted behavior, there's usually discomfort. And nobody wants to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk about it.
The rage in the comments lately, just from e-collar, just from like recall, like basically.
Which is not high level standard. Not even. Yes. Like, yes. It's like.
It's been crazy.
And then everybody like freaking out that like they don't see a dog get a food reward. It's like, have you ever worked with an aggressive dog? Have you ever worked with a nervous, fearful dog? These dogs don't take food. 50% of the dogs in the last 20 years, like this is the thing. There's no study that can match any experienced dog trainer study. There's not. I think the e-collar study that was done with less than 100 dogs, I'm sure. And the way it was done was not in a controlled environment. It's not a true study anyway. It's a false study. But the point is, you talk to a dog trainer that's trained thousands, let alone tens of thousands of dogs, and they've worked through these issues, like that's a lot of data. That's a lot of data. So like we've stopped humping so many times, but stopping unwanted behaviors, there's a level of discomfort. That's just the way it is. But that's not how you obedience train the dog. That's how you stop unwanted behaviors. The issue is most owner dog trainers cannot effectively stop behaviors. They actually can't. They don't know how to. Next.
Nikki said, yep, been doing that. Been using that with kennel drills since we got home. Okay, good.
Good.
Oak Barrel Barbecue said, thank you.
You're welcome.
Kendra said, that makes sense. That is what I figured it was. Thank you so much, Jeff. I didn't know you had a coaching program. Is it for professionals?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's 90 days. We have a couple of offers. You can get every one of our courses, 32 courses that we've ever made, plus the 90-day coaching. If you're like, well, I already have half a dozen courses. I really, because there's, it, you know, it's over $10,000 in courses. I've got enough courses. I just want to do the coaching. Then we've got a coaching tier.
Yeah, just reach out.
Yeah, and it's under $2,000, which might sound like a lot to some people, but for further learning, this is the thing. Like, this is what baffles me about like any extended learning for people in business or wanting to start a business. Most college kids are $250,000 in debt, and they're working at a job that they'll never be able to pay it back. They'll be in debt for probably most of their life. Like Obama, who I don't like, he paid off his college loan while he was president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Like that's how messed up the system is. Like when I'm that old, I'll be fucking enjoying all the money that I've made. You know what I mean?
Anyway, we can help you build your career.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to get, it's like, so dog trainers need to understand, and any service-oriented business person needs to understand, find good mentors and coaches and invest in them. Sure. Invest in them. Your money will come back tenfold.
And sometimes you just need like an outside opinion, because we invested in mentorship this year.
He sounds like me.
He literally tells me the same shit that Jeff tells me, but I'm so much more receptive when Eric tells me. I'm like, yes, Eric, that's right. If Jeff tells me, I'm like, shut up.
It's so
you
funny.
You need, it's like a therapist. You need like a third party. Yeah,
it's so comical. It really is. It really is. I'm like sitting there shaking my head. Like, yep.
Money well spent.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And I'm sitting there saying same shit.
And
same
a lot of it is like the stuff we teach too, but like coaches need coaches, therapists need therapists. Yeah. Like that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Kira says, hi, Jeff and Joelle. Would you recommend a correction for a 15-week-old GSD puppy that goes after another dog too rough? Have tried introducing him to my mom's dog and he chases and bites him.
Yeah, yeah. A stockyard whip is a bonker. You can use a bonker for that. A lighter tap with a stockyard whip. Ideally, the other dog would. So this is the thing. Someone has something has to correct this puppy.
Should have a leash on, most likely,
yes.
too.
But still, like, but still, you can still correct it without it. So, yeah. you know, but obviously, yes, you know, but something, human, dog, has to correct this puppy. Ideally, the dog would do it. The other dog would just snap at it. But if it doesn't, then you've got to be the one that does it. Next.
Snugglebun said, you're not always going to have rewards on you. I forgot my service dog's treats on our shopping trip today, and he still performed impeccably.
No, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, you have to get off. Snugglebuns, why don't you just get off food?
I know. I feel like you're there at this point.
Get it, just get totally.
Unless she might, she might be teaching new tasks, though, too.
Yeah, but if not, though, just get off food. Get off food. Yeah, the dog should, at some point, the dog, we want the dog to do it because it wants to do it, or it's trying to avoid the consequence of not doing it. Which that whole theory, that second theory, people like get so twisted with. Oh, the dog's only doing it because it's afraid of a consequence. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good thing my dog recalled to me because it's afraid of getting hit by a car. Like, yep. Avoiding a negative experience is a just reality. Reality. Not too many hyenas are going to go after a lion by itself, but they'll do it in a pack. Dog, like, just watch the animal world. Like, we own apex predators. Start observing nature. Nature is cruel. Nature doesn't care. That doesn't mean you have to be cruel or you don't have to care, but I'm saying, like, nature is a, Mother Nature is a very good teacher. Very good teacher. Next.
Carol says, does a stockyard whip work as a deterrent for unleashed loose dogs?
Yeah. Hell yeah. You go full Indiana Jones on those dogs. That's not what a stockyard whip is, but you're like, absolutely.
I think he used like a bull whip.
I know, that's what I said. Oh. I just said. Angie, don't listen to me.
I don't.
It's like when we're married.
Definitely, like, put on the ear mufflers.
Yeah. Story of my life. Yep. Next.
I hear your voice all day. I think I just like.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Brittany. No, you're not.
Hey guys, checking in from vacation. The person watching Max and Kinze say how well behaved they are. She doesn't have one complaint. Thanks again for peace of mind with all the training to just help our dogs through normal life events like us going on vacation.
Bingo, 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 bingo.
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind and yep. quality of life. And I cannot tell you how many couples or people cannot in go on vacation. We have clients. They can't go to work. So we have clients that can't go out on date night. And then you can't go away for a vacation. Those are a lot of clients. And not just if they're, even if we don't have clients, a lot of people cannot board their dogs' places. Next.
Kira said, thank you. I was hoping her dog would correct him, but he just wants to get away from the jerk face puppy.
Yeah. So that's one more reason to correct the dog, because the other dog's not enjoying it. The dog's not enjoying it. Yeah. So one or two times, you know, the dog will stop doing it. And then as quick as possible, teach that dog the out command, out away from, we have a video called out away from people, but it could be any object, out away from dogs. So what'll happen is the dog stops and then breaks off and moves away. So, and that can be, you can start teaching that now. Start teaching that now. That's it.
Mm-hmm. You can go on any rants tonight, but you are going to be interviewing a fellow colleague of ours,
yeah.
because the comments have been out of control
on this person's page. It's just so funny what happens with we get a lot of new people too. It's just an interesting dynamic when a dog trainer jumps onto another dog trainer's page and it turns it into a cock contest. And it's just like, so you came on my page just to tell me I'm wrong and you're right and you're better. It's like, you do realize you're coming across as a total asshole. Like, who does that other than assholes? Seriously.
I can't think of any successful.
So I can't think of any non-asshole that would do something like that. So, and I can't imagine, I cannot fathom going onto someone's page and saying anything but good job or nothing.
Right.
I've got really strong opinions about a lot of stuff. You'll never see me on social media like arguing these points.
That's the part I don't understand either is when you go on that person's page and they have a following, you're probably not going to be changing anyone's minds in the comments.
Well, oh, when one person goes on there, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like most people are there because they're like, they want the information.
But you will because there's trolls on every page that stays on there and they're waiting for, you know, wimps. You know, you want to talk about total wimps. It's like someone will make a negative comment and then three people will like it and you go to see who likes it and you're like, so you're on our page, but you've never made a comment.
Yeah.
So it's like you're the ultimate in weak. You're the ultimate sheep.
Yeah.
You're the ultimate sheep. You don't even have the balls to fucking make your own negative comments.
I know. It's like, why are you here?
It's like, it's incredible that people waste their time on pages with the things that they don't agree with.
But anyway, my whole point was I'm excited for the interview.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be.
And I was just filling time here.
Did you tell her it's live yet?
No.
Does she know it's live? You just don't want to do it live.
You just told me it was live.
I think it would be interesting.
Okay. So no, I haven't said that yet.
It's going to be fun.
What else do we have?
Rosemary says, my dog goes crazy when sees another dog. Yep. And the only one that gets hurt is me.
Yep. So your dog redirects. It's a major problem.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if you were on me earlier. We have a 4 leash reactive dog courses, 4 separate ones.
The bundle.
We've bundled them all together. $888 worth of courses, I believe, or something like that. For under $200, you go to Solid Canine Academy, or Joelle put the link in before, she can put it in, put it in again, and it will stop it. So it won't just make it better, you'll eliminate it. So what's happening is your dog is possibly redirecting or pulling you down, so you'll learn how to not only properly walk your dog, you'll learn how to stop leash reactivity, you'll learn how to stop redirection. And you'll learn in probably less than a week. For us, that's just to let you know, big deal. We're dog trainers. We've done this with thousands of dogs. One session. That's one walk for us. One walk, we solve that problem. But that's big deal. That's us. But all I'm trying to say is you can do it in 7 days. You can do it in 7 days. Yep. There's the tools. There's the philosophy, there's then understanding how to actually train a dog. There's the training component, which for some weird reason, everybody assumes because people use aversive tools as well as rewards, they don't know how to train. And it's like, we actually probably know how, we have more skill sets than most because we teach both sides of the conversation to people. And that's what's missing is dog training. People have to remember, no matter what you do, you still have to understand how to train the dog. Next.
Jay Drink Walter said, I would hate having to walk with treats. I hate having to remember to bring a poop bag in case we walk for 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny because we just, poop bags, we'll take 2 or 3. Every pair of, like I'm wearing shorts. I'm wearing shorts right now, pants when it's colder. Like they're always in my back pocket. They take up, it's not like carrying a wallet. They take up no space.
Like I don't carry the roll.
The roll, no.
Just rip off.
Just rip off too. That's all you're
gonna do. They go through the washing machine. They're still there.
Yeah, yeah. We just do some on the dryer right now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nikki said, will the interview be on the community or public? It'll be public.
It'll be public. It'll probably be on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
Yep. Or it'll be streaming like in this format. Yeah. Or both.
It'll be good. Trish said, can you use e-collar correction for peeing in the crate?
We usually don't. We don't. We look at the teacher instead of the student on that one. So for number one, a lot of people, there's a couple things you can do with the crate. Obviously, a lot of people make sure that you shrink it. So you shrink it. Most crates are too big for dogs. Even when they shrink it, they're too big. You can also lower the roof, not permanently. Don't everybody freak out here. So pretty much a dog, when it goes in the crate, should be lying down sleeping. That's what crates are for. So it's a lot of times if a dog cannot stand up, they can't pee in the crate. You need a couple of weeks to start patterning, don't pee in the crate. Have a pee schedule, have a water schedule, have a food schedule, have everything on schedule, have the dog go outside on the leash, and then always monitor the dog's, you know, water as well.
Yeah, and then no free roaming. Like, if because you've
only happening in the crate.
I know, but it's like, what's the dog doing when it's not in the crate?
It's not lying down, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, if the dog's running around having a good time and then it goes in the crate and pees, it's like, maybe you should limit the freedom for a little bit until you get the peeing under control.
Well, anytime a dog runs around, it should probably go outside or to the bathroom. But also, dogs that are laying down historically don't pee. So what's the dog's behavior? And even if you're not in the room, you can start patterning. We do this with our separation anxiety dogs. In fact, almost every dog has to lie down in a crate, and we'll have a video camera on them. And it's going to be difficult at first. You know, the first month might be hard. Like I said, pee issues take a while. The issues actually are can be challenging to do. The bath potty issues can be very challenging.
They the really can. Is cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Your dog smells like pee. Your wet dog and pee.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. I know. Next.
Dirty dogs.
Yeah.
Alicia said, Figaro pee sitting down.
Oh, really? Yeah. Some dogs have skills. We know dogs that poop lying down like a horse. So just solid poop comes right out of their ass. It's like, wow, that's some skill.
Yeah.
That's definitely some skill. Yeah. What else? Really? What is this, Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, everybody. Ask questions.
What's up, Angela?
Angela's got a podcast on Sunday.
Does he?
Yep. You don't know what time. Don't say goodbye, Angela, because it's not closing time yet.
I thought you were.
No. Watch out. Watch out. All right. So any other rants you want to do? Anything else you want to talk about? We got coaching. We got coaching. Jump into the coaching. We've got our community, our online community.
Yeah, the price is going up for that. The 15th. You can get in right now for $377 for the year, which is like insane.
Yeah.
The year. Like, you get coaching calls.
You get two coaching,
calls. There's like 5 dozen courses in there.
You get courses and you get a true community of like-minded people that
I think that's everyone's favorite part.
Right.
Everyone's always checking in on each other. I love it.
Yep.
Rosemary, my dog cries loud playing with his toys. I never knew this excited.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Some dogs just go totally bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Totally bonkers. When they're playing. When they're playing tug, when they're running around, we've seen that on walks. Walks we want to stop. Playing with toys, overroused. I mean, you could stop it if you want to, but it might just, that might stop the whole play thing.
All play, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So close the door, door in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today because I forgot that we had Rue's housemate coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I know we said, like, oh, we might not be launching any new courses for a while, but I think the housemate one would be
because they fight with each other.
Yeah. Well, Rue tries to attack the other dog if it barks or anything, so like he's sheriffing, but too intensely.
Yeah, some dogs don't know how to properly sheriff. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Jasmine. Hi, update. Riley, 6-pound Chihuahua, has been doing well with obedience.
Oh, good.
But has been still reactive to other dogs on the walk despite leash pops on the prong. He would rather shriek. Thoughts.
So. You're possibly underwhelming the dog and your timing might be off. It's usually, those are the two things. Your leash pops are not strong enough or your timing is too late. Believe it or not, bonking also works well too. You might want to do a one-on-one, but those are usually, also maybe think about a leash reactivity bundle. Leash reactivity bundle, well, it's cheaper than a one-on-one with me, by the way. You get 4 courses for less than 30 minutes. Actually, 30 minutes with me. It's my 30 minute rate is higher than
the bundle.
Yeah.
A lot of it is timing on your corrections too. You might be catching it too late because I know you're Jasmine. You're in green to graduate, which doesn't directly address leash reactivity, but we do see it get better. But you might just be like a little bit off with your corrections if you're waiting for him. to explode.
Start recognizing loading. Too late. Start recognizing loading, which is the precursor to do it. But also, if your dog does it every time, so many people say
this. You might not care. Believe it or not, Chihuahuas sometimes don't give a flying F.
Even if
it's like some of the hardest dogs we ever rehabbed are freaking Chihuahuas. They just don't give shit. So that's where you might need to come in earlier and a little bit firmer with your correction.
Mm.
Use some spatial pressure. Don't just rely on the prong.
Yep.
She said, yeah, I think I'm missing the loading phase because by then he's already lost.
Yeah, so that's what it is then. Yeah, you've got to know firm correction at loading. Firm correction at loading.
Sherry, I have another great trick to help with potty training. No one ever gives the solution to potty training. Can I private message to you? I don't want to hijack your
Just go ahead and say it.
Type it.
Type it. We're not
potty people.
I think I've said
have a good solution
for the last share. For the last 16 years I've been podcasting, I'm like, I'm not the piss and shit guy.
Yeah.
Like that's not my level of expertise. It's like I barely ever work on it. Why? Because
when we get dogs in that do, we just want to cry.
We're because, like, oh my God. Because we just put everybody on a routine.
Yeah.
We just put everybody on a routine, our own dogs included.
Yeah.
We monitor where
we monitor where
our dogs are. We monitor where the client's dogs are at all times. We take them on a structured thing. So theoretically, we just don't let dogs free roam our house. Now, stopping a dog from pissing in a crate, that we're actually really good at. But that's a controlled environment. It's a controlled environment.
Carrie said, sorry, YouTube kept eating my comments. I barely use food with him anymore. It's more of a special treat.
Got it.
Connie, my Rottweiler tries to mouth my husband's hand each time he stops scratching her belly.
Yep.
She does not do that to me. My Rottweiler is almost two.
So when the dog grabs your husband's hand, what does your husband do? Does he go no and whack? Oh my God, did you just say whack a dog? A Rottweiler across the snout? That's not how we train. But if it was putting its mouth on me, like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Let's do a flashback to 40 years. Everybody said it. It's so ridiculous how far away we've come from just natural. How many times do you ever see dogs like grab each other's snouts and push down and like to correct them? You see
Coco and Duke bite each other's heads.
You do it with puppy. Mothers do it with puppies all the time.
He yells at her.
Stop yelling.
It probably thinks it's a game.
It's a game. Mm-hmm. It's a game. Try using the e-cow. Try using the bonker.
No.
No bonk. No e-cower. Teach the dog the out command.
And he backs away.
Yeah, no, get the dog to back away with the out command.
Yeah, she's just turning it into a game.
Yeah, that's what it is. So your dog's looking at it as a game. That's all part of the game. Yeah.
Let's see. Constance said, inquiring minds want to know. Share. I know, I'm curious about this potty training thing now.
Yeah. There's people
Come on, Sherry, we want to know.
Because there's people that are really, really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got a colleague, I haven't spoken to her probably for years, but she's out in California. She only worked with dogs up to 16 weeks old. That's it. Wow. That was her thing.
That's like opposite of us.
She did the crate training, the puppy foundation, and play groups. That's all she did.
Yeah.
Like that was
if
her
you
business.
Enjoy it, then do
anything
it.
Above that, she referred out. Always.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and she boarded them. You know what I mean? It's like, but that was her gig. That's what she enjoyed to do. She was an expert on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was an expert on this stuff.
Dogs rehab said shit. My helper dogs use physical corrections like that. Of course. All dogs
again,
do.
Look, watch Mother Nature. She's the best teacher. I'm so blown away.
I can't believe
at how people think that dogs are these fragile little things and you'll make it worse. And someone will turn this into something else. Oh my God, Jeff encourages people to hit dogs. Okay. Can we have any bit of context on there? Oh, if the dog doesn't do a downstay, he said, like, that's where it goes. That's where these conversations end up going. It's like, if my dog put its mouth on me, isn't it most people's instant reaction to just go, boom? Isn't it?
Not anymore.
But it's like, oh, would you do that with your kids? No. Like, what does that have to do with it? I also wouldn't do it with my partner.
No, I feel like when kids go through that biting stage, they would be like, "We'll bite the kid back." Like that used to be the advice. That
right, but you can also pinch the kid too.
Right,
but it's like I wouldn't do that with my kids. I wouldn't do it with you. I wouldn't do it with my relatives. I wouldn't do it with my folks. I wouldn't do it with. No, it's just a stupid question that people love to ask. But
don't
it's like
feed children raw meat and bones right. like the dogs yeah. eat. They don't run around barefoot in the snow.
Everything. But it's like dogs are sometimes physical corrections work wonders on dogs. Wonders on dogs.
Road Dogs Rehab said, where are these PB comments? I don't see them on this feed. Yeah, they're on like Facebook and YouTube. We stream on like four different platforms.
But people see YouTube on this, but on Instagram.
You just see Instagram.
You just see Instagram, yeah.
We have two cameras set up.
Yeah.
Alicia says, Figaro, if Figaro jumps on the counter, I have been e-collar correcting with a high level and saying off or no. Should I change that? Well, it sounds like he's doing it multiple times. So
hold on 1 second. Alicia, what's a high level?
Right. He should only do it once.
So what's a high level and how long are you holding the button down for? So dogs that jump on the counter, first of all, your dog could die. Your dog could die. There was somebody on my morning show this morning whose dog ate something on the counter, and $3,000 later, the dog still didn't learn, but dang. It cost her $3,000. Yeah.
Do you see that TikTok going around? I think it was a TikTok. The dog ate $4,000 of cash off the counter, and they had to go to the vet. They found it in his poop, and they literally had to piece every dollar bill, every $100 bill back together in dog shit.
That's disgusting.
They did it. They had to.
That's so disgusting.
$4,000. Because they were going to pay a landscaper. So they had the money out on the counter. Dog ate it all.
Yep.
Imagine
and guess what? The dog didn't know that was four, how much, $100,000 or $1,000?
$4,000.
The dog didn't know that was $4,000.
No.
See, that's the thing. It's like, that's like people are like, oh, it must be, this is what people would be like, oh, it must be upset about something. I'm like, or you've got a counter surfing dog that doesn't know not to jump on the counter. Like 50 or higher. How about 2 seconds? Okay. Try 100 for 10 seconds. 100 for 10 seconds. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. And everyone's gonna be like, oh my God, it's terrible. Okay, but I can't say this any clearer.
Isn't your dog sort of small? How the hell is he even reaching the counter?
But dogs can and do die.
Yeah.
They die, meaning they're no longer around anymore. The love, the thing you love the most possibly, it's 2 years old, 3 years old, 1 year old, any age, but it's got, let's say, a long life ahead of it. It's healthy. There's nothing wrong with it. It gets on the counter, eats something, and dies. And it's gone. And you'll never see that dog again. That should be devastating to you. And to think that all you've got to do is inflict 10 seconds of massive discomfort to save that dog's life. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what part of that is even debatable.
I know.
Next.
Let's see. Jasmine said, would this be the case where you bonk before the walk? I'm still learning spatial pressure with him because he evades it easily because he's small.
For is that Jasmine?
Yeah,
you can bonk, you can do the pre-walk bonk, the pre-walk puncher. Get our leash reactive course, Jasmine, or get our leash reactive bundle. Just jump on tonight. So just get it. It's so worth it. Your life will change. Your life will change. Not just on the walks.
We show so many, like the seminars in there. So you see it not with just like one dog. You see it with like 20 dogs.
Yep.
The way, how yep. fast.
And the dogs that we did cast to control are miniature schnauzers.
They're intense.
Yeah, they're very small. And they're very intense.
They didn't give a shit.
Not even on the walk, just all the time. Next.
Lakes Tree said, well said, Jeff, it's serious. Constance said, damn, my boxer chewed a $10 bill years ago and I was major bummed. I can't imagine 4K.
Yeah, I do.
Debbie, the way we trained our boys is every 2 hours we took them out on a leash. I did it. My husband did it. My granddaughter did it. And when I say every 2 hours, I mean every 2 hours.
Yep.
Day and night, and within a week, they were both potty trained.
Awesome. And then once they are, then you have to start extending it, or else you've only instilled a 2-hour bladder control. So that we found. Sometimes we have clients, when I used to go to people's houses, even though I didn't like that you can't hire me. Like, you could never just say, I need my dog potty trained. Like, I wouldn't accept that job. It's like, no, that's not. Hire somebody else that's a third of my price or watch a free video. But I would say start going to 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, or your dog will never learn to control its bladder. It'll never learn to control its bladder. Yep.
Jay Drink Walter said dogs always be getting that cash money.
Oh, yeah. They get it one way or the other.
They do.
One way or the other, they get it.
Sure,
yeah. Do. They get it one way or the other. Yeah. I know. All right. All right, everybody. It's just about 8 p.m. and we will see everybody tomorrow. That's part of our coaching call. It's our coaching in the community. It's the community coaching call. We'll see everybody that. Angelo's going to come back in camera and say his goodbyes right now because then he's going to go brush his teeth and go to bed.
All right. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Wherever that you are, I don't know. But I want to say that on Sunday, I'm going to be doing a podcast. So, wait, what's the date of Sunday this week?
Oh, I have no idea.
The 11th.
The 11th.
No, the 10th. Tomorrow's the 9th.
Hmm. Okay, thank you, Joe. So on the, yeah, so on the 10th of,
You're taking up way too much of the time.
Yeah, I know. Well, I,
love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.
See you on Monday.
Bye-bye.